Praise God. Anyhow, back to her. Her name is Angel Young. She has some little ones. My intention is to have more kids in kids' church than here. And what we'll do is just flop, switch, so that way you'll have this home. I just want a bunch of kids in this place. So she just came to my mind when I was laying on the couch and couldn't move. And so I just picked up the device and contacted her. And lo and behold, she's looking for a church. So you never know. I mean, so I've got one that was just immediately, and the other one I've been working on for over a year, and I changed tactics. And so I just want to encourage you in that place. I'm committed to just seeing as many people come into the kingdom as possible and impacting our community with the goodness and love and mercy of God. So anyhow, thank you for that. And you can go to the Romans chapter 13. I'm going to introduce to you a subject matter which I'll probably hop and skip around throughout the weeks and months to come. It probably won't be back to back to back. But I've been looking at the phrase put off, put on, put in. Put off, put on, and put in. And I just want to go over some of the scriptures today. First of all, let's just ask God, Lord, you always bless your word, so it's easy to pray that you bless your word today and bless your people with it. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Now, these are found in Scripture. We're going to read quite a few of them here just for a moment. And then I'll kind of go off on a little rabbit trail, hopefully, that it will bless you. But all of these are imperatives of Scripture. Now, an imperative of Scripture is a command from God. And within the charismatic church, and also I have to watch my own self, is if we're not careful, and I was thinking about this. You know, when you're sick, you just lay on the couch and you pray a lot, right? And it's just, I'm not saying the sickness, God brought it on. Obviously, I don't believe that. But it's a great time to fellowship with God. And as I was fellowshipping with God and I was reviewing some of the things that I needed to change in my thinking, particularly as it relates to the community of faith here, I realized the blessing and the curse of the priesthood of the believer. The Reformation was such a key event in history, because now John Huss, have you read about John Huss and all the Wycliffe and all those guys? They died. They gave their lives. One of them was burned at the stake, and the other one was horse drawn and colored and cut out the guts and all this other kind of stuff. These are men of God that we stand on their shoulders because of their conviction to give us this. They believed that for lack of a better word, the average believer needed the Bible in their own language so that they could read it themselves instead of being indoctrinated by the Catholic Church at the time. And the only way that they could feel like they could get close to God was to go hear what they said and then go to God through the priest. And of course, Luther. The reason why Luther did what Luther did was because he was so unsure of his salvation. Because they have what they call a justification of works. They also embrace justification by faith, but they also believe that because of that, and it's not bad theology, but because of that justification by faith, it affects something in you. So you act differently, you do things differently, i.e., if I can put it in our vernacular, you start walking in the kingdom of God. But they had such a heavy emphasis on the work aspect of it that Luther could not get peace about being right with God. And that's when he came up with the same, the just shall live by faith. You know the story. If you don't, you should read it. I've got plenty of books you can read. But and so he was dealing with that. And he introduced to you and I this whole thing of the priesthood of the believer. And it's wonderful. In the context that you now have every right to go before God, to read your Bible, to come up with what God is saying to you out of His Word, and then live accordingly. Now, the downside to it, hundreds of years later, is that people are using the priesthood of the believer to disobey. And then we have things like, I don't feel led. Well, it's in the Word of God. Who are you going to believe? What you feel or God's word to you? And so it's a bittersweet situation. We still want to embrace the aspect of you have every right to go into the heavenlies of heavenlies, into the very presence of God and let Him love on you, let Him speak to you, get your marching orders and run hard after it, hopefully within a community of faith that will encourage you to do so and help you in those endeavors as well. But what happens oftentimes, and particularly since the charismatic renewal of the 60s and 70s, is that we use that as an excuse for not obeying the very scriptures of God. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. Thank you. I got one. And I'm guilty of that. I'm pretty sure you all are too. The old Southern Baptist guy that went up and said, I'm so tired of you guys not feeling lead, and he put a big old bar of lead and said, every one of you. He made the entire congregation march and touch the lead so he feels lead, so that they would feel lead, It's one of those type of things. It's funny, and I laughed at it too, but it's indicative of a condition that God is addressing in the charismatic church today. And that is bringing us back to the aspect of lordship. You are bought with a price. You are not your own. I am bought with a price. I don't have the luxury to do what I think is best. If I'm smart, I'm going to want to do what he thinks is best. And fortunately for you and I, most of it is outlined in Scripture. It's just, pretty straightforward. Now, granted, some of it is straightforward and it's kind of like, dear God, I need more grace in my life. Particularly, if you've been in a knockdown, drag out one of your neighbors and you said things that weren't exactly Christ-like and you'd rather be bit by a snaggletooth tiger than go back and apologize. And probably need to repent. Well, the Scripture says you're supposed to do that. And it really is the test of our character. It's the test of our love for God. It's the test of if we're serious about this whole thing called heaven and the kingdom of God. I hope I'm wrong, but I think there's a great number within the Christian church today. It's kind of an oxymoron, that they think they're going to be welcomed with open arms and they're going to get to heaven and God's going to look at them and say, who are you? I don't know you. Hey, but I did this, this, and this. And there's something that this past weekend or this week laying on the castle lot, just a sense of the fear of God just gripped my heart. And I had to do some serious repenting on my part because of things that I didn't consciously sit down and say, I'm going to use the priesthood of the believers so I don't have to do certain stuff. But I realized that, in essence, that's what I did. I'm the priesthood of the believer. Bless God, it's just me and Jesus and everybody else can go to hell. Of course, I wouldn't say that in church. Oh, no, I just said that in church. But oftentimes we get in that frame of mind. It's just going to be, bless God, it's going to be my way or the highway. Well, actually, then you need to get in the highway because it's all about His way. And one of these scriptures that I'm going to read these scriptures, every one of these are commands of God. So I'm trying to get you in a frame of mind that when I read this, this is not, I may do this, I may not do it. These are commands of God for you and I to somehow, if you're not walking in them, to somehow allow His grace to get inside of us and just mess up our mess. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Doer of the word. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. In truth, I don't have a problem with the Catholic doctrine of justification under works. I really don't. And it's because of James. In other words, if you're saved, if you're born again, you're doing stuff. If you're not, if you're sitting home eating a bunch of cereal, and just talking about the good old days, I love you, but something's wrong with you. And since I'm an Armenian and not Reformed, I believe you can lose your salvation. How about that? I believe that if you continue, now I don't know when that is. I'm not God. Thank God I'm not God. Somebody say he's preaching now. I don't know when that is, but I think, Scripture talks about reprobates. This is kind of heavy today, isn't it? I mean, it really does. I mean, look at it. It's in there. Talks about you becoming a reprobate. That means you were in grace and you fell away. Tertullian. How many of you know about Tertullian? He's the one that gave us the doctrine of the Trinity. And if you look at his life, he was a heathen, he became a Christian, and at the end of his life, he bought into a heresy. He died in heresy. And he gave us the doctrine of the Trinity. When I say that, he's the one that introduced the term and helped us to understand a little bit Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a lot more there, but I can't go into that, because, and plus this is not a college class. But I'm just telling you this because I'm trying as a good shepherd to make sure you are right with God. And that is not... It's secure, but it's secure because you take it seriously. It's because it is the lifeblood in your life and in your relationship with God. And that relationship produces something. Now, you're not going to get saved by what it produces and all that kind of stuff. You're saved sheerly by grace through faith. But that grace through faith is going to do something. All right? And if it's not doing something... As a minister, I will look at you eventually and say, I doubt your salvation. Because it's not producing anything in your life. You know, the best way that you can check on someone's salvation, if they're married, talk to their spouse. You know, and that guy asked me, he said, does your wife love you? Well, my immediate response was, here's the phone number, call her. You know, we've been together for 35 years. I think it's pretty hot, but she may have a different opinion, you know. Fortunately, she didn't. You know, it's one of those things. So, are you hearing my heart today? I want us to deal with any level of selfish reasoning that puts our desires above God and His Word. He may, indeed, probably will ask things of you that you ain't gonna like. Should I just stop and get a testimony right now? Can I do that? I can admit, speaking of my wife, there's times in my life that I had to go repent and apologize to her. And, you know, I didn't hop and skip into the room going, oh, glory to God, I was wrong. You know, I did it one time, she walked over to the calendar, started writing on the calendar. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm writing on the calendar. My husband was wrong. Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate that, you know. And admitted it, you know. Now when stuff goes wrong, I just go over to the calendar, and she used to say, what are you doing? And then eventually she learned I'm writing. I was wrong again, you know. You know, it's one of those situations. Repentance. Hear me when I say this. Repentance is evidence of the grace of God on our lives. You and I should rejoice in it. Thank God He convicts us of our sins. Thank God He loves us enough not to leave us in the muck and the mire of our own reasoning. But He allows us to repent. And then the good news is He imparts revelation to us. Here's some good theology. It's better to do it His way than your way. All right, that's real good theology, by the way. So, having said that, let me read some scriptures to you. You can go to Romans chapter 13. Remember, these are imperatives. And we'll start off in verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now is a high time to awaken out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, here it is, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on, there's the word, the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Here it is. And make no provision for the flesh and fulfill its lust. Now, I could park there and parse this passage of Scripture and just preach the heck out of it. Because there's just so much there in regards to our lives. Now, granted, we're talking about the concept of sanctification, which is being made holy like God. I believe, all right, then I'll give you Scriptures 3 or 4 weeks from now. I believe all of that, like justification, is given to us the moment we repent. I also believe that the process of sanctification is in the discovery. You will continually discover more and more about God's love and His holiness and His justice and His mercy. But when He comes with the full bore. He comes with everything that He is. He doesn't come and say, I'm going to give you 1/1 billionth of myself and see what you do with it. He comes in, and that's why I think that justification includes sanctification, because we're born of the Holy Spirit. So we have incipient sanctification, being made holy like Him, and then from that moment forward, we are in this discovery process of, man, what the glory of God is all about in His holiness, in His goodness, and in His faithfulness, and in His mercy. Everything you need for life and godliness is yours. That's another way of putting it. Everything. And in the Greek, everything is everything. All right? Then that's my theology. I may be different next year, but right now, I believe that God just downloads that stuff. And that's why Paul says in Romans 12, renew your mind. The reason why he's saying you're reading, because he's saying there's discoveries out there about God and His goodness and His love and His holiness and His mercies that you have yet to come into, even though it's there. Christmas, all these gifts. I don't know about your house. We have tons of gifts, particularly when all my family comes in. Or we got kids running around all over the place. I mean, they're that high. What kind of family would we be not to open the gifts? And that's where that priesthood of the believer come in. You are not going to knock your head on God's goodness, mercy, love, and holiness, but you will continually have revelation knowledge of what that means in your life and how it affects your life and how you relate to your spouse and to your children and at work and in your entertainment. And Nancy and I, when we go out, now it's very seldom that we don't share the love and mercy of God with whoever waits on us. I mean, it's just, I don't give testimonies anymore because I feel like I'm a broken record. You know, I saw a guy coming out of S&S. And, you know, he had a Batman shirt on. Well, I just spurted out, oh, I love Batman. And we just struck up a conversation. I got to share Christ with him. And he said, man, I needed to hear this. And he said, well, I invited him to church. You know, I'm saying, I got his number. I'm going to be dogging him. He's going to come. He doesn't know yet, but he's coming. It just came out. It just came out. I didn't have to go, okay, I got to think about it. Why? Because it's who I am. I love bragging on God, all right? So, put off that stuff and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my question is, what does that look like? You probably will have all kind of testimonies here. Because I heard myself say out loud, laying on the couch and blowing my nose. I heard myself, you know, that's good, Lord, but what does that really look like? I mean, in people's lives where they can say, man, I'm unloading and I'm putting on. You know, I'm unloading and He's putting on. And He's graced me to unload and He certainly is gracing me to put on. So, you know, I haven't got an answer to that yet. I'm still kind of looking at my own life and, you know, because I can't answer for you, but I can answer, you know, for me. So, I love preaching. I hope y'all like it, but I really love what I do. Okay, here we go. Galatians chapter 3. Here's another one. All I'm doing is introducing this to you today. Galatians chapter 3, and it says there, and let's start at verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All right, there's justification. All right. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, then you are an Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So it says this, that if we've been baptized, how many of you have been water baptized? All right. We've all, hopefully everybody, if not, come to see me. I'll get you good and dunked by, you know, a couple of weeks. But it says if we've done this, then we've been water baptized. Now, I personally think something happens in water baptism. How many of you like that, Carrie, what's that lady, she really sings good, Carrie Underwood. How many of you heard her latest? Well, it's not her latest. It's one of the latest. It's called Something in the Water. If I'd have been thinking, I'd have had Dusty bring it and we'd have put it up there. There's got to be something in the water. And she's a believer, and she won America's Got Talent or something like that. That's what propelled her. I think she married a hockey player or something. And it's called Something in the Water. And I love that song because instead of just seeing it as an ordinance, I think there's grace involved in the baptism event. Out with the old, in with the new. There's something. I'm putting off the old Terry Shaver, and I'm coming up brand new. And she talks about how she was a sinner, and she was running from God, and the preacher man. And okay, next week I'll bring it. You can listen to it. How many of you have heard the song? Nobody? Oh, good. Three of you have heard it. All right, it's a good song. I love it. But she, and at the end of it, about then she goes down into the water baptism, and she comes out, and the refrain, is that what it's called when you sing it over and over again? The chorus, she says, got to be something in the water. There's got to be something in the water. Got to be something, you know, in the water. Jason's not here today, but when Jason was just a little tot, you know, he was wide open. He's been wide open ever since then. He broke, you know, cut his eye here, and all this kind of stuff, running around. He fell on the altar, but it wasn't under sin. It was because he was disobeying me, running around. But I remember when, you know, I used to punish him by not letting him go to children's church. That's how much the children's church rocked. And I literally did. I would slip out from the adult church and go just sit in children's church. It was just so much fun. And they learned all kind of good stuff, Brother Randy Stevens. Anyhow. So when he came and he said, Jay, I want to get right with Jesus, I said, okay. And so I quizzed him about the Bible, and he knew all the right answers. And I said, you got to repent. And he said, I know, I've been bad. And so, yeah, I thought, yeah, you've been bad. But anyhow, so, you know, we did the thing. We led him in prayer, and then we kind of get, I believe in a type of a confirmation like the Lutherans and the Episcopalians do. So we kind of went through some of the confirmation with him, just making sure it took, because I didn't want a stillbirth. And so, you know, he was all gung-ho and stuff, and he would, you know, yeah, I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost when I get, I mean, he was saying this, I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit when I, and it's kind of like, well, son, you kind of already have him, you just need to let him out. Okay, Dad, I'm going to let him out, you know. He was the one that used to look at his belly button and say, Jesus, are you all right in there? I mean, he had the revelation that God was inside of him, all right? And so when Brother L.A., but you know, water baptized, and you know, they were all nice. Everybody, mamas and daddies taking pictures and everything. And it was all rocking along pretty good. Well, he puts Jason in the water. When he comes up, as God is my witness, he's busting out in tongues. He is just praying up tongues up. And the whole place erupted. You know, here's this young little man just praying in tongues like crazy. And, you know, he's slapping in the ball. He's walking out of the pool still praying in tongues. He's changing clothes. He's trying to breathe. He's still going crazy praying in tongues, you know. He got it. There's something in the water. Something in that water. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like getting into a, you know, I got... I was up north somewhere, and I was freezing my tea, honey, off because it was cold and it was snow all over the ground. And I went, somehow we went to one of their big department stores. And you know these big, heavy coats that you see all the news announcers on with the scarf, and it goes down to about right here. I saw one of them suckers, and I said, you know, bless God, I'm getting one of those things. And they're not cheap. You know, they're like $600-$700 a piece. And I happened to get it after Christmas, so it was on sale like for $450. So, you know. I did the Nancy thing, and I said, but it's on sale. My wife first, this rabbit. Well, the first time, my wife came in with a bunch of clothes, and I'm sitting there, you know, we're struggling, trying to make ends meet, and she looks at me, and she says, but it was on sale. And I retorted, honey, everything in that store is on sale. It never did click with me about I got 10% off or 20% off, all this other kind of stuff. And so I took that coat, clipped off all the stuff, and I just eased into that thing, wrapped myself up. You know what? It made a difference. Got my little beanie thing, pulled that baby down, wrapped up myself. Guess what happened? Things changed. I got warm. I walked out at 8 below weather. I still was warm. You know why? Because I had put on Now, I will suggest to you, this is not a forensic statement. It's not a declarative statement. It is a transformational statement. I hear a lot of Baptist people, and God bless them, I love the Baptists, but they talk about this is all just a, you know, you're justified by faith, and nothing actually happens. It's just God declaring you not guilty. My retort to that is, if He declares you not guilty and something doesn't happen to you, what kind of God is that? Because when He speaks, stuff happens. He's not going to look at you and say, well, I declare you not guilty, but really you're still a sinner. You see, grace empowers and changes. Now, I'm letting my theological colors fly here, and if you're not following me, God bless you. You need to. And so here it is. It's the reality of I have gotten into this thing called Jesus, and more importantly, He has wrapped me up and changed me. I don't have a good dog and a bad dog fighting inside of me. I do have the revelation knowledge of discovery. I'm discovering more of His goodness and His mercy and love. And the truth is, I thought I was great. But then when He opens up that revelation of love and grace and mercy to a greater degree, guess what I want to do? I want to repent. Because I realize I was great, but man, there's much more. And in order to get there, I've got to release it so that He can give me more. You never receive like this. Never. You never receive like this. You receive like this. When you open up and say, God, I'm yours. I'm yours because you tell me I'm yours. And whatever you want to do in me, through me, around me, to me, whatever it is, it's always going to be good. And so, it's this concept of putting off the old, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Now, the reason why Paul says that, because it's a reality. It can happen. Now, I would suggest to you it's an oxymoron. I would suggest to you it shows the depth of your maturity. I would suggest to you it tells me you're really not reading your Bible. And you're certainly not meditating on it. Because when we do that, stuff happens. When He begins to open up and pull that, pull that mind of ours so that we go, oh, wow. Things happen. That's why the Scripture says we grow from what? Glory to glory to glory to glory. That's the discovery process. And it should just really ring your bell. Because every day is a new day. Every day is a day of, when I was laying on bed sick, I got up realizing that, after I got through to the bathroom, it seemed like, something's going to happen today. God's going to show me something, It may come through a person. It may come through a phone call. It may come through His Word. But this is what my life is all about right now. And I'm going to share that with whoever, wherever I go. I'm just going to share that. Every day I got something new, I can talk about it. I can share a testimony. I can say, hey, guess what God showed me, That guy, the Batman at the gas station, I just started telling him what God was doing. I mean, it was just natural to me. Here's an addendum. The church is too infected with fear. Fear. And I've done this before. Maybe this will be my last time of saying it. But we hide behind, that's not my gift. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. It may not be your gift to preach and teach like I do, but it is your gift to talk about the goodness of God and how much He loves on you and how He's blessed your family and how He gave you that promotion. Listen, do you realize for a man to walk into our service and interrupt the whole thing and say, I'm here because I know you've been preaching me. You're a bunch of praying fools. And I like it when people pray. I can't just trust anybody to pray for me. Do you realize the compliment that was? And then it's not me, it's you. It's a compliment. Where they drive by and say, I'm coming here because I can trust their prayer. It says something about that discovery process that we're putting off and we're putting on. And you will never, and I will never stop doing that until we bust eternity wide open with our presence. And I'm of the opinion, I'm still working theologically on this, I'm of the opinion, even in eternity, we're going to be going, wow, 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 wow. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. I guess all I'll do is get through the scriptures, because this other part I'll have to wait. Are you okay with this? Okay, I can say, because I can pray and dismiss you. We'll go get chicken. But verse 20 in chapter 4, we'll back up a little bit. And it says this, "But you have not so learned Christ." All right, you can mark that word "learn." It's the same word in the New Testament or in the Gospels for disciple. Disciples are always learning. All right? Please put that in your notes. At the end of the day, when you lay your head on the pillow, you need to ask yourselves, what did I learn today? "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." I go back to the discovery process. The reason why he keeps bringing up "renew in your mind" is because the mind is still affected by sin. This is affected by sin. Do you agree with me? If you don't agree with me, go look in the mirror. You're getting old. You're going to die. My spirit's not affected. My soul has been renewed. But he says you've got to renew your mind. The brain, the organ, is a part of your body. So it's affected by sin. So he says renew that. Get new patterns of thinking. Begin to think according to Scripture and according to the new nature that he gives you. I hope I'm making sense here. That to me was a revelation when I finally saw that my brain is a part of the flesh. That my brain is getting old. That's why we have hemorrhages. That's why we have strokes. Because your brain's not perfect yet. It's an organ in your body. And unfortunately, the older we get, the more susceptible we can get toward strokes and what do you call them things when the bubble gets up and it pops and you aneurysms and all that other kind of stuff. It's a part. It's there because of sin. And so if it's there because of sin, the inner working of your brain needs to be affected. Thinking. My thinking needs to change. My thinking needs to change. So he keeps hammering this. How many times did it have to say something in Scripture for it to be important? One time. And when he keeps repeating it, guess, I wonder why he does that. We don't get it. And the reason, you know why? It's because if you're like me, we're a little dense. You know, maybe we're living over here in the priesthood of the believer, and I'm just going to got my little shopping cart, and I'm going to pick and choose what I want to believe, and that other stuff I ain't going to deal with. And then above all things, thinking I'm still right with God. By the way, that's how you get into deception. That went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? But it is. I'm sorry. It is. And so he goes on. He says this. "That you put off, forming your outcome, the old man which grows corrupt according to his deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Your new man, that new person, that born again person that's inside of you, it's been born again in true righteousness and in true holiness. It's not a forensic righteous where God stands up and says, "You're not guilty," even though you really are guilty. It's a true righteousness that you're right with God, because the blood of Jesus does something. It cleanses you from all guilt and shame. That is not a forensic statement. It is a real statement. It is a transformative statement about you and I. If we do not in some way begin to rise up to that level, then we need to ask ourselves why. Why do I keep making excuses for the same sinful pattern of thinking and the same sinful pattern of behavior, when all of heaven and the resources of heaven are available to you and I to walk in the destiny that God has given as sons and daughters of the living God? It grieves me when I look at my life and I see certain things there, I can't tell you how quickly I want to deal with it. It grieves me even more when I see a society of millennials out there, that's what they're calling them these days, that have bought into this whole concept of tolerance and relativity. You know where relativity stops? It's a real rude awakening, at least for now in America. It's called the law. You hit the law, they don't believe in relativity. You do this, you get punished. And I've talked to a number of teenagers that could, you know, it's kind of like, well, I don't know why they're doing this. You know, I just did such and such. I said, yeah, it's called the law. And see, they don't have enough sense to realize that they've bought into the whole concept of what. Listen, this relativity works really good in colleges and universities. Because you got these PhD guys, and I'm one of them, that you know, that live in their glass houses, and they think that they're the smartest thing since sliced bread, and they're teaching this generation, you know, unto your own self be true, and all this other kind of gobbledygook stuff. And when they finally begin to live that way, and they break the law, here's a good example. You know, I believe, you want to protest, get out there, and, you know, I'll make the sign for you. Just protest to your little heart's content. But when you protest, and you break the law, you know what? I read an article the day before yesterday where a lot of them are going, wait a minute, time out, we didn't know this. It's a felony. You want to go to law school? Out the door. You want to go to medical school? Out the door. You want to be in anything in medicine? It's out the door. You can't do it with a felon record. How did I get off on that? I don't know. I'm trying to preach, condemn them. It just breaks my heart that our culture is buying into a lie. We've got the good news. We really do. Ephesians chapter 6, you like this one. I've got one more after this one, then I'll shut up. You know this one. You know it. You know it by heart, I'm sure. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Verse 10. Isn't that a good one? Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You ready? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I'm going to just stop there. You know, if this is true in Paul's day, how much more is this true today? I mean, my heavens. All right? That was my phone. I'm sorry, I forgot to turn it off. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on, there it is, the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly, he says, as I ought to. He talks about putting it off and putting it on. Real quick, go to Colossians, the next one over. Taking this so you can just kind of turn pages with me. Verse 8 in chapter 3 of Colossians. But now you yourselves put off all these things. All right, here they are. You ready? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. I had a guy call me yesterday and he said, you know, did your daddy say, you know, it was something like, oh, shucks, you know, you rascals. I said, no, my daddy used to just cuss the paint off the wall. He said, really? I said, yeah, he just cussed the paint off the wall. I said, but bless God, he got saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost before he died. Kind of made me happy. I'm getting to see him one day. Passions, evil desires, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed. Here it is again, all right? Renewed in the knowledge. You know, if I beat this dead horse long enough, I think we're all going to get it. There is a discovery process in your walk with God. There's a discovery process. How do you know that you're renewing your mind? Because you have new thoughts about God. You have new thoughts about His love, about His mercy, about His grace. You have new thoughts like, oh, I don't have to lose my temper anymore. And better yet, you realize, I don't want to do that. It's called grace. And I put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, sloth, free or slave or free, but Christ in all, is all, and in all. And then he goes on in verse 14, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, that you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I pray in the days ahead, and I'm going to shut it down. I don't know. What we said we'd pray for the sick. Yeah, okay. We already did that, though. Anybody else need prayer in your body? Okay. All right, we'll have that in just a minute. But what I want you to do for me today, all right, and then I can preface this with a command of Scripture, because how many of you recognize me as a leader here? Anybody here? Okay. The Scripture says, obey your leaders. I sucked you into that one, didn't I? That's Scripture. It's right in there. All right, it's in there. What I want you to do this week is to go review these Scriptures. I want you to meditate on them. And I want you to ask God just to give you some new revelation on those things. It can be new revelation based upon things that are not quite so nice. And hopefully, if that's the case, then it will also just grow into new revelations that are really kind of cool. You know, about what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. I can. I will. I'll put them on the church's Facebook. So you didn't jot them down. Next week, you better take better notes. I'm going to give you a test at the end of the. I'm teasing. All right. Can you stand with me real quickly? And if the Lord will help me, I will somehow bring Carrie Underwood's song as a prelude to worship. There must be something in the water. I love that song. I don't know why, but I just really love it. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Lord, sometimes I feel like the Georgia Bulldogs. They used to be called the Junkyard Dogs because they just kind of throw something together and they wind up winning. And today it was one of those sermons where I had a lot of scriptures and I did my best. I kind of threw them all together and hopefully you won by your Spirit by writing things on our hearts because you said you would do that. I pray in this week ahead that all of us would see where we stand in salvation. This so great a salvation that the book of Hebrews talks about. I pray that the greatness of that salvation would expand exponentially in our hearts and in our minds and in our thinking. I pray that there would be new levels of discovery for each of us. Lord, as we see new heights of your grace and power and love and mercy and holiness, let there be a greater transformation in each of us because of the power of the gospel this week. I don't want these to be theological words put off, put on, and put in. I want them, which, Lord, you know, if you'll help me, I'll get into it next week, because all of these phrases bespeak of an experience. And we want to look at that experience, Lord, from your word together, maybe in the next couple of weeks. And so we thank you. I know I'm praying according to your will. I know you hear me, and I know you're going to do it because this is your heart, because it's found in your word. And so I just bless these, your people. I bless them with a greater revelation of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I claim that for my own self. And I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunities of this new week. Lives that we'll meet, perhaps first time meet. Lives that we'll renew relationships with. Families being mended together. Moms and daughters and daddies and sons and whatever the case may be, Lord. I just thank you for that. And I thank you, God, that you are faithful and just to do what your word says. And we just love you in Jesus' mighty name. Can we gather around Carolyn? Anybody else need prayer in your body? Can we gather around Carolyn, please? And Carolyn, you need a, yeah. You know, if you fall out on the other side of your head, you'd have a matching pair. But she just needs that hematoma to heal up. And let's just gather around her real quickly. I'm going to let you pray. Let's just go ahead. This is a part of the service, so this is not an addendum. This is not a thing we do. It's the end of service. It's what we do because we love each other.